Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent, 2008. A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel took Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as a man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, who was tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in his hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things that are done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the work of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in this world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, "Go to Siloam and wash." So I went there and washed and was able to see. And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, welcome to another edition of Your Sunday Reader. Today we're here. I'm Dawn Burdick. I'm in Canandaigua, and we have Father Mark. Would you like to say hello?
Hello, everyone.
And Father Mark, where are you located?
I'm at St. Michael's Church in Newark, New York.
So we're close.
Unlike other people who think I'm in Newark, New Jersey, I'm in Newark, New York.
Slight difference, trust me on this one.
Yes, there is.
And this week we are without Brian, who is right now on his canonical retreat. That's a fun word to say, canonical. We can all remember Brian in our prayers this week that he might have a good retreat and God might speak with him clearly.
Absolutely.
So, Father Mark, this is, we have another long gospel reading. Last week we talked about the scrutiny readings, and this is the second in the three.
Yes.
What do you have any thoughts on this week's readings?
Well, the reading certainly from John's gospel is the man born blind and how Jesus brings sight to this man who was born blind. And one of the initial thoughts I had after reading the gospel was going back a couple of weeks, watching, I don't know if some of you have seen the TV show Extreme Makeover Home Edition with Ty Pennington. And a couple of weeks ago, they were with a family who has a son who was born blind. And the son is now college age and is in college. And when I believe Ty was talking to him and asked him the question about his blindness and his disability, and it was interesting to hear this young man's response, because he said that basically he didn't see it as a disability, but he saw it as an ability, because he said that those of us who can see and have that ability of sight can judge people based on what we see. You know, and I go back to that line from the first reading from 1 Samuel that says, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." And this young man basically said the same thing, that he sees himself with this ability of not being able to see physically, but having to look more deeply into the person, you know, that that he's encountering at that point. And I found that very profound and quite mature and insightful for this, you know, this young college student to say something like that, that sees himself not as being disabled, but being abled, you know, given the ability to see more deeply into people. And if you think about that, that if he doesn't have that ability to see a person, he really has to rely on his other senses, and he has to rely on his intuition and his hearing to really get to know a person. And just thinking about that process that goes on in him compared to what you and I might do when we look at a person and judge them by the appearance and not really listen to what that person is saying to us and how he is maybe more in tune with, you know, what's really going on in people, listening to, you know, the revelation of God, the divine that's penetrated into the earthly, you know, that's what we're really supposed to do, I think, is, you know, use what's been given to us, all of these senses and the abilities that have been given to us, and really try to experience the divine that has penetrated all of creation. And I found that very interesting that this young man could say that, you know, not in those words, but to really kind of express this deep understanding of life, even with what we call a disability of not being able to see.
I think that was a perfect example. I only saw the very ending of that episode, and so I didn't know everything you said at the beginning. It was just fascinating. I love that show. So many of the people that they help out, you can tell are Christians. And I just marvel that here they are facing all these hard, adverse circumstances. And what ends up happening when you hear, like, Ty interviewed or different people, like, they start crying because these people in these horrendous circumstances are actually ministering and helping to convert, well, not necessarily convert, but helping to share their faith with the other people. And to me, that's just such an awesome witness. And it sort of goes along with this reading, because the man born blind, you can see this whole process of faith. I mean, he starts off by saying that it's just this man called Jesus. Uh-huh. And then he's, you know, the Pharisees come after him and say, they're asking him more questions, and it's almost like he's being persecuted. And so then he says that Jesus is a prophet. And then the next time he says Jesus is from God, then he says he's the Son of Man. And then finally, when he says that Jesus is Lord, he says to him, and he worships him. And so I think in our lives, that's our process of faith too. We don't, sometimes we think, well, I believe in God, and so I should have a faith that's perfect. And it's not. I mean, we go through stages, and it's as long as we are on the journey, it should be growing and deepening. We're never going to go from 0 to 100 immediately. It takes it's a journey.
Which, you know, in John's gospel, I remember my class, the Gospel of John, while I was in the seminary with Father I believe it was Maloney, he basically wrote a book on a commentary on John's gospel, and his gist of John's gospel in general is to see this development and growth in faith. And so there's always these examples of, you know, that he pulls out in the gospel where John is showing someone going from like no faith to, you know, a certain amount of faith and to coming closer and closer to full faith. And just exactly what you said, you see this man born blind who, you know, at the first, you know, doesn't really know who this Jesus person is, but you see this transformation and deepening of spiritual awareness is what it is, of who Jesus is. And I think that each and every one of us probably could ask ourselves, especially in the season of Lent, of when we are in a process of renewing ourselves and our relationship with God, you know, where am I at? And, you know, if I put myself in the, you know, in the footsteps of this blind man, then where am I at? You know, am I at full faith or am I at, you know, partial faith? And I would say probably most of us have to say that, you know, faith isn't, you know, a quantity, but certainly we are going to grow in faith. And so maybe we find that we are not at a point where this blind man was by the end of the story, that we are still trying to grow and understand what does it mean that Jesus is the Son of Man, you know, the Son of God, or he is a prophet, you know, and what does that mean in our own faith life? And, you know, trying to develop, and this is where a blindness comes in, you know, being able to say to God, you know, help me see a bit more clearly this relationship that I have with you and who Jesus is meant to be in my life, you know, and in the life of the community that I am immersed in.
I like how that point that you just made about the two, about John's gospel, because I got thinking about last week's gospel. It was the same thing with the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. It was a deepening of her faith. It starts at surface level and goes on. So that's good. So it helps you to think about the audience that John was writing this gospel for too, and maybe what they were going through or things that they had to think about.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, it's really about, you know, certainly we're praying for the catechumens and candidates, you know, more intensely at this point because they're preparing for, you know, initiation into the church and preparing themselves for the Easter sacraments. But at the same time, we should be praying for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And as these readings are pointing out, that the spiritual death that we are called to really kind of immerse ourselves in this life of God, which I think, you know, confronts us with some of the realities of our life, you know, to try to see ourselves a little bit more honestly and clearly to say, you know, I'm not perfect and I am on this journey of growth, you know, and that's what God is calling us to be, you know, and certainly going back to, I believe it's the Mother Teresa quote that, you know, God, we're certainly not called to be perfect, but to be faithful. Mm-hmm. And that's most important, I think, that we have to remember that we are called to faithfulness, and what grows out of that is a genuine, integrated relationship with God.
Well put. I can't end it any better myself. And so as we reach the end of this podcast, we wish and pray for you to have a great week this week and ask you to come back and join us next week. Have a good week, and God bless.